Okay, welcome to Shir Avinu B'Chayim Parshas Kisavo. So I wanted to start a little bit deep into the Parsha, where the Parsha, of course, again, a large part of the Parsha talks about the Tokacha, the terrible admonition and terrible punishments that are going to come on Klal Yisrael if we fail to keep the Torah. Before we get to the Tokacha, there are a few psukim of Bracha that talks about if we do keep the Torah, you know, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good with us. And there in Perek Chavches, Pasuk Yud, we're told, V'ro'o chol ami ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. All of the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you, v'yare'u mimecha, and they will be fearful of you. Shleizu Ravero B'chaye, Mishu Eved, the Sar Echad Misare Hamelech, Ein ma'aloso gedola kol kach kilu hoya avdo shel melech. If you're a servant of one of the king's officers, you're certainly not on the same level as someone who's a servant of the king himself. Ki avdo shel melech afilo asar v'askanim asher lemelech yirei mipanov le'em asa melech. Someone who's a servant of the king is in a certain sense even feared by the king's officials, by the king's cabinet. I'll take his word for it. I mean, again, we live in a world without kings, without princes, you know, so it's hard for us to really relate this. But basically he's saying, look, if the king has a servant, that servant who answers to the king directly is on such a high madrega that even the king's prime minister and his, you know, other officers, in a sense, are fearful of this servant of the king. This Eved is called by the name of the king. That's what this pasuk means. The nations of the world whose destiny is determined by the stars, they have their own sarim, they have their own rulers. When they see kishem Hashem shuha adon aleihem v'alasarim shelahem nikra al Yisrael, when they see that the name of Hashem is called upon the Jewish people, and that we are the Eved of the Melech, so to speak, that we're unique in God's, you know, eyes, Az v'yaru umimeka. So then the nations of the world will be afraid of the Jewish people. But v'ada yiru mimaran shal Yisrael, they will certainly be awe-stricken by the awe of Yisrael. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. The Darshu Chazal. Chazal say in a very famous drasha, Kishem Hashem Nikra, what does it mean that the name of God is called upon you? Again, the Parshat of Pshat, he said, is that the Jewish people are identified with God, that we're called the Eved of Hashem. But the drasha from Chazal, it's Rebbe Lezer Agadol Omer Eilu Tfilin Shebirosh. Right? This refers, says Rebbe Lezer Agadol, to the Tfilin Shebirosh. The Tfilin that are on the head. He quotes from the Shach, Rabbi Shavel quotes from the Shach at the bottom of the page the following. Why does it say Tfilin Shibirosh and not Tfilin Al Harosh or Tfilin Shel Rosh? There's an old vort attributed to the Gaon and to others that it has to be Tfilin that are not just worn on the head, but rather Tfilin whose message is inculcated within the person. If you're not going to take the message that's filling into you, so that, you know, the yira is not going to spread. The Shach says differently. Shach says different pshat, right? The Rabbi Shavel quotes them on the bottom. La amash shel rosh el shibirosh remez al hashin sheish bebayis shel rosh shnei shinin echad shel gimel roshin veechad shel dalid roshin. Tfilin shibirosh doesn't mean the tfilin shel rosh. It means the shin which is on the shel rosh, right? In other words, the shin specifically inspires a sense of awe in the nations of the world. Not just the shel rosh generally, the shin in particular inspires a certain awe in them. Why the shin? So the Rabbi Bechai goes on to explain this inyan of the shin. Why is the shin there? And why is the shin, as we know, on one side three legs, and on the other side four legs? Right? There are hagos, my son started putting on tefillin recently, and
a little before he started putting them on. We purchased the tefillin. It's always a good idea to get the tefillin before he starts putting them on. So the sofer told him the following story. He said a fellow came to the sofer to buy tefillin, and the fellow had been inspired to keep the mitzvah of tefillin. You know, there was a chabadnik who had encountered him and, you know, convinced him of the importance of putting on tefillin, but the truth was that the fellow really had no shaychus previously to the mitzvah of tefillin, but you know, he lived out of town. He wrote to this, got in touch with the sofer. He says, you know, I need the most beautiful set of tefillin that you have. FedEx them to me. You know, I'm inspired. I want to start putting them on. Good. So the sofer sends him a very mahudr set of tefillin, and the guy calls back the store, and he says, "You gypped me. You gave me a lemon of a set of tefillin. What do you mean? First of all, you know, why is it that one of them has pinstripes and the other one doesn't have pinstripes? Shel Yad, it's just a pashut set of tefillin. The Shel Rosh, okay, that's deluxe. It obviously has the stripes on it, but the Shel Yad is pashut. And you messed up, and, you know, you messed up the monogram. The Shel Rosh has a monogram, and the Shel Yad doesn't have a monogram. And even the monogram itself you messed up. I mean, I don't know much, but even I know that a shin doesn't have four legs to it. So what kind of defective set of tefillin did you send me?" So the sofer had to calm him down to explain to him that, you know, this is it's all part of the program. But Taka, he has a good kasha, this fellow. Why Taka, you know, should it be three legs on one shin and four legs on the other shin? By the way, this the idea that there's a shin on the tefillin shorosh comes from the Gemara. The fact that there's three legs on one side, four legs on the other side, that's not in the Gemara itself. Tosfos and Menachos quotes that from the Shimush HaRabbah, this Kabbalistic source of different hanhagos and tefillin, which you know, is very you know, many of the suggestions of the Shimush HaRabbah are things that we incorporate into our own halachas in terms of following the tefillin. So let me explain to you the inyan of the shin, says the Rabbeinu B'chayim. Yesh l'chol le'hes'orer b'kan Kinirsham Bekan Os Shin Shualach Lamoshim Yisinai. The Gemara says that the fact that the shin has to be on the Tefillin Shorosh is Halach Lamoshim Yisinai. It's obviously very important. You know, it's an oral tradition passed down to Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai. V'hu ki'ilu omar v'ro cholami ha'ores ki shin alecha v'yara'u mimecha. The pasuk itself, again, as was said before, is talking, you know, the way Chazal talk about that Elu Tefillin Shebarosh refers to the shin, it's as if the pasuk itself said the nations of the world will see that the shin is upon you, v'yara'u mimecha. Where did he get that idea? Ki shin alecha. So he explains in the notes the following: v'ro cholami ha'aretz, the shteitin pasuk, ki shem yud kei vav kei Nikra. The Rashi Tevos of Shem Yudke Vavke Nikra are Shin. So if you just abbreviate Shem Yudke Vavke Nikra, V'ro Cholami Ha'aretz Ki Shin Alecha, the nations will see that the Shin is upon you. Ki Shem Hashem Nikra, right? Shem Hashem Nikra is Rashi Tevos Shin, right? They'll see that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. They'll see that Shin is Alecha V'yaru Mimecha. What inspires this awe and dread? It's called upon.
Oh.
Right? They'll see that the Shin is upon you, and that Shin is what's going to inspire the dread and the awe that they have. V'od Chiluf Hashem HaGadol Be'atbash Olo B'mispar Shin. Another thing about the shin that's going to inspire them is that if you take the Shem Havaya and you convert it into Atbash, again, Atbash we know is a system whereby each letter corresponds to its mirror image letter in the alphabet. So the Aleph and the Tav are interchangeable, the Beis and the Shin are interchangeable, the Gimel and the Resh are interchangeable, etc., etc., etc. So if you take Yud Kei Vav Kei and you exchange each letter for its Atbash letter, it comes out to Maspats. Mem Sadi Pei Sadi. So you say, okay, Mem Tzadi Pei Tzadi, the gematria is 300. Shin the gematria is 300. Right? So the shin of the Tfilin Shorosh is Miramis to the Shem Havaya. Again, the shin is the gematria of the Shem Havaya in Atbash. Right? The Matzpas. Okay. So, in other words, when they see the shin, that reminds them of the Shem Hashem. For who shin rabosi shall shir hashirim? And when shir hashirim starts off with a big shin, it's for that reason. You know, to tell us that the shin is miramis to the Shem Hashem, lest one read through shir hashirim and think this is a love song, it has nothing to do with God. Shir hashirim starts off with a big shin. Again, shin is miramis to the Shem Havaya, to teach us that shir hashirim is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is not, as one might think, an earthly love song, you know, just a beautiful poem about love in the spring. No, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his love for Klal Yisrael. The Ode, Ki Shlosh Meos Yomim Shel Hanochas Tfilin Heim Vashana Yotsu Shabbosos V'yomim Tovim Sheheim Samich He Yomim. Comes Rabbi Bukhai and he quotes an idea which the Beis Yosef quotes in his comments to the tour. The Beis Yosef quotes this B'Shem somebody, I think. B'Shem the Orchas Chaim. Namely, that what's the significance of the Shin? The Shin, 300, is the number of days during the year that you put on tefillin. How do we come to that? Right? So there are 52 Shabbosos during the year. There are 13 Yomim Tovim during the year, including the Yom Tov Sheni of Galius. Right? Does that work out? Right? So you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, you have 1 day Yom Kippur, 2 days Sukkot, 2 days Shmini Atzeres, 2 days Pesach, another 2 days Pesach, and 2 days Shavuos. It works out. 13 Yomim Tovim. So, So hold that thought, right? So it comes out that you have 65 days altogether during the year that you don't wear tefillin. So in a solar year, that means you're going to have exactly 300 days during which you would wear tefillin. Right? 365 days in a solar year. Take out the 65 Shabbosos and Yomim Tovim. So you're left with 300. That's the shin is miramis to the number of days during the year that you wear tefillin. Now, of course, this implies that you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. Right? So here you have, again, in the age-old debate as to whether you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed or not, which, again, is debated by the Rishonim, debated by the Achronim, you know, everybody takes a stance on this issue. Clearly this remez, which the Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes, assumes that you would be wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, because if you weren't wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, the numbers wouldn't work out. You know, you crunch the numbers, they simply wouldn't work.
Yeah, but also, Yom Tov is on Shabbat.
Right. So it doesn't always necessarily exactly work, but it's close, whereas if you factor in the extra days of Chol HaMoed, it's considerably off. I mean, it's clear from his presentation, at least, that all you take out is the Shabbosos and the Yomim Tovim, not the days of Chol HaMoed, right? Those, you know, so Rabbeinu Bechaye, again, interestingly enough, Rabbeinu Bechaye was a Sfardi. So nowadays we usually associate the Sfardi position with not wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. But it's interesting to note that Beis Yosef, when he talks about this issue, the Beis Yosef says that the old minug among the Sfardim was to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. What changed? The Zohar became popularized, and in the Zohar there's a passage that seems to imply that you're not supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the Sfardim adopted this position of the Zohar and stopped wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. But the Beis Yosef makes it pretty clear that the minhag of the Sfardim originally, mostly at least, was to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. That fits in with the fact that Rabbeinu Bechaye, who's Shvitz Sfardi, I mean, he wasn't Polish, the Rabbeinu Bechaye. Right? He wasn't Bal Litvak, you know, he was wearing tefillin. It wasn't Bayeke wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. I was a Sfardi, right? And yet, the Rabbi B'chai is assuming that you'd be wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed. Ad kedei kach, he doesn't even bother telling you that my cheshbon is based on the idea that you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, because I guess to him it was so poshut that you wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, it wasn't even worthy of comment, right? When he talks about it. It's just a very interesting ha'ara. What makes this even more interesting, by the way, is that the Rashbah, who was the Rabbi B'chai's Rebbe, is one of the old Sfaradi poskim who held that you don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. So it's very interesting. Again, I don't know how that worked out exactly, but apparently, although the Rabbi B'chai considered the Rashba his Rebbe in many things, it sounds like, in terms of wearing tefillin Chol HaMoed, he did not follow the Rashba, and indeed, it sounds like the Minhag Sfarad in general at that time in history was taken away tefillin Chol HaMoed, you know, even among the Sfaradim. The Rashba was a Yotzei min HaKlal, as opposed to being, the standard in terms of that. Very interesting, just a very interesting Ha'ara in terms of tefillin and Chol HaMoed. The Kipser, the shin, is very inspiring and awe-inspiring to the Umos Ha'olam, either because it hints at the Shem Havaya, or because it hints at the number of days during the year that the Jewish people are wearing tefillin. Why should that be inspiring? Why is that so awe-inspiring? They wear 300 days during the year. What gets them so nervous about that? So I think the idea is that the shin tells the Umos Ha'olam that the tefillin are constant. We wear tefillin every day. And even the days when we're not wearing tefillin, it's the Shabbos or a Yom Tov, where the Shabbos or Yom Tov itself fulfills whatever function the tefillin is supposed to fulfill. So in other words, as opposed to other religions, Lahavdil, where you check in with God once in a while, you do your 2 hours in church, and then, you make a contribution to the, when the plate gets passed around, and you go to the church barbecue, and then you're done. In Yiddishkeit, it's a 24/7 activity. In Yiddishkeit, we're with God constantly. That's the message of the shin on the tefillin. We never abandon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillin is with us 300 days a year, and the other 65 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us through the osos of Shabbos and Yom Tov. I think that's what's so awe-inspiring, for the Umos Ha'olam. Today, yeah.
Right. But was that, I've heard that they used to wear them all day.
Right. Now, theoretically, that was true. Certainly by the time Rabbi B'chai is writing, I don't think that was true anymore. But in the times of the Mishnah, the Gemara, it certainly seems like that was the practice, that they would wear tefillin all day. Certainly we can say that that was the intention of the Torah. The Torah doesn't say, Ukshatim la'osal yodecha by shachris. It says, Ukshatim la'osal yodecha, and leave them on. In other words, the assumption is that tefillin are part of your uniform that you're wearing, throughout the day, not just for davening in the morning.
So the reason why 300 is only in Chesel Aretz?
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting cheshbon. So it comes out that you're taking into account the Chesel Aretz as opposed to, I guess, the idea is that this is more inclusive, meaning in Eretz Yisrael. So it would have to be a slightly bigger number. So I guess it's inconvenient just practically to write shin, whatever it is, however many extra days you pick up, shin vav, shin zayin, I don't know, whatever it is. Five? Is it five? Well, you have Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, right? Rosh Hashanah. No, now it's 2 days, but I mean, theoretically, Rosh Hashanah would be 1 day, so Rosh Hashanah, right, so six. So shin vav, right? So I put shin vav on the tefillin, okay, so, it's approximate, approximately 300 days during the year. You're wearing tefillin.
What's the minimum amount of days do they have Shabbat as a Yom Tov a year? I don't know.
Again, it's around 300.
Yeah.
Even if it's not going to be precisely 300, it'll be around 300. It's not not kedai, to hangle over the one or two.
So it's 8 days. Actually, it's 9 days.
Why?
2 days Shavuos.
Yeah.
Days,
you're counting two. We're counting the extra days.
Extra days, right.
So 1 day Shavuos, 2 days Pesach, 2 days Sukkot, 1 day Rosh Hashanah. The extra days, right? Yom Tushen. Vintaskil od b'tam shin shel tefillin. If you can, now let's think a little bit more about the shin of the tefillin, and again, why it's so awe-inspiring. Timsa Hashin remes l'shchina
Well, in Nishmas Ha'adam, you'll see that the three-pronged shin hints to the Shechina and to the Neshama of man. The shin shall arba batim, and the shin of four legs. It's pretty clear from context that batim over here means four prongs, you know, not four houses, you know, not four batim, but you know, the four-legged shin. Yirbos l'shechina ha-makefes u'mamalis l'chol ha-olam v'chutz la-olam u'mashpat koach ba'arba chayos ha-merkava. The four-legged shin hints to the shechina that fills up the entire world and gives the koach to the four chayos, the four animal-like malachim that bear the Merkava, that bear the chariot of God. The Merkava represents the idea of God's imminence in this world. So there are four sides to the Merkava. Again, as we know, it's described in the Pesukim in the beginning of Yechezkel. Those four sides to the Merkava are what are being hinted at with the four legs of the four-legged shin. And he goes on to explain as follows. Baritsua shiyeshba kimin dalit, the ritsua that comes out of the shel rosh, that has like a dalid in the back, right? The kesher is a dalid. Remez la'arba ruchos ha'olam ha'misnagim al yidei ha'shechina. That hints to the four corners of the world that are overseen by the Shechina. Umal u'mato gamkein. V'alkeno ritzuos mechuboros u'mispashtos v'holchos l'mato. That's why the ritzuos emerge and go cascade down from the Tefillin Shel Rosh, because the idea behind it is that there's God, the Shechina, represented by the Shin on the Shel Rosh, and then the Ritzuos protrude from the Shel Rosh and go downwards, indicating the Hashpa'ah, the divine influence that starts with the Shechina and then goes down to the world. Now this idea that's what's represented by the Kesha and by the Ritzuos coming down is taka based on a Rashba. The Rashba in his Chidushi Agados to Brachos deals with a well-known but very perplexing Agadata in the beginning of Masechet Brachos. The Gemara there says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, asked God, "Can I see your face? Harei nos kvodecha?" God says, "I won't show you my face. I can't do that, but I'll show you my back." Right? Ro'isos acharai. And the Gemara Darshins, Melamed Sheheru lo Kesher Shel Tefillin. When God passed behind, you know, passed over Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Kesher of God's Tefillin Shel Rosh. Right? We say that in Anim Zmiros. Kesher Tefillin Heru lo Anof. Of course, the obvious question is, I mean, what does that mean? You know, God wears tefillin, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the kesher of the tefillin. What on earth does that mean? So the Rashba writes over there, along the lines of Rabbeinu B'chai, or Rabbeinu B'chai writes along the lines of the Rashba, the bias, the shin of the Shel Rosh, represents the Shechina itself. That Moshe Rabbeinu can't see. But the Dalid and the Ritzuos, the back of the tefillin Shel Rosh, represents the Hashba of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It's not that God literally has a set of tefillin. I mean, obviously that doesn't make any sense, right? But in saying that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the kesher of God's tefillin, it means Moshe Rabbeinu was given some insight into the hashpa, into the influence that the Shechina has in this world. But to understand the Shechina itself, that would mean looking at the quote-unquote the bias of the Shel Rosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the shin on the Shel Rosh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that much Moshe Rabbeinu would not be zochet to see. Right? So this explanation, Rabbeinu B'chaye, in explaining our tefillin, I think draws heavily on that Rashba, his Rebbe the Rashba. He didn't hold of him in terms of tefillin of Chol HaMoed, but in terms of the Hashkafa, you know, he held of the Rashba. So, you know, the Rashba's hezber in the Kesher Shel Rosh being shown to Moshe Rabbeinu is essentially the same idea that Rabbeinu B'chaye is bringing out over here. And through the imagery of the Tefillin Shel Rosh, we see anything that happens in the upper world or in this world is all just flowing from the benevolence of the Shechina itself. I'm sorry?
I think the Elyonim is the part of the Ritzuos that are on top of the Dalet. Meaning, the way the Tzilin Shalosh is constructed, you have the Bayis, then you have the Ritzuos that go around the head, then you have the Dalet, then you have the Ritzuos that come out. So the Dalet is the Dalet Ruchos HaOlam. So what's over the Dalet, the Ritzuos that are Makis, the Rosh itself, that represents the Olamos HaElyonim before you get to the Dalet Ruchos HaOlam, and then the Ritzuos that come down is the Ashpah into the Dalet Ruchos HaOlam. So that's the imagery of the Shel Rosh.
ומאין בא השפר אל השתילה מן החוכמה והבינה צי ולמד שהוקי מתוך יצירת האדם שנוצר בחוכמה מופלאה.
Right? I'm going to deliberately skip the last line where he just talks about, it's an Indian in Kabbalah, that chokhmah and bina, you know, the spheros, are ultimately the source of the shefa that the Shekhinah brings down. Leave that aside. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. Right? But then he goes on to say something beautiful. He says, how do we know that the Shekhinah is the source of everything that happens in the world? God made man in such a way so that our bodies demonstrate the presence of the Shekhinah.
How so? Ki os shin rashum be'apov.
Your nose has the image of a shin. How does your nose have the image of a shin? So if you were to hold your head back, the nostrils, you know, are essentially a shin. The tip of the nose is the bottom of the shin, and then on either side of the nostrils you have a leg going up and then a leg in the middle. Essentially, the nose is the shin, and the nose, the Torah tells us, is the place in which the neshama was put into man. Vayipach be'apov Nishmas Chayim. The neshama goes in through the nose. So the neshama is put into man in such a way that it's clear that the Shekhinah is directly responsible for putting the neshama into us. The area into which the neshama goes into man has a shin. We have it, our nose is a shin. Right? It's a fascinating insight. I mean, before you said it, you would never think, I mean, you know, your shin, the nose, my shin's down here, you know, near my thighs, right? But the notion that your nose is the shin, when you think about it, yeah, taka, but I mean, it's not the sort of thing you would think about ordinarily on your own. It's a beautiful insight. And the truth is, the two nostrils are sort of opposite the brain. I mean, if you were, I don't recommend this, but I mean, if you took a stick and you stuck it up your nostrils, you would eventually hit your brain. Don't try it at home. Shumakam achachmo v'abino. And that's the place of wisdom, is your brain. V'inyo ha'ebra azeh hachasim ba'os shin, shuhu beis kibul. Right? The nose, the aver, which is imprinted with the shin, is the receptacle to get the neshama in, and, you know, to connect the neshama to the malach, to the source of chachmo v'abino. We have the shin in our noses to teach the world that everything comes from the shin, from the Shekhinah. The chen timsa haneshama shima kefes is kol aguf shu besocha v'chut salah. The kochava aris pashtin barba chalolim shubba moach. The brain itself is divided up into four parts. Shnei chalolim rishonu yeshvam koach atzir. He tells us the brain is divided into four parts. The first two parts deal with imagination, the second part deals with thought, and the fourth part deals with memory. Right? So the four parts of the brain then correspond to the four-legged shin. Right, so each shin in some way speaks to the glory of God as reflected in the creation of man. The four-legged shin speaks or represents the idea of the four sides of the Merkava, borne by the four chayos. And it also hints at the neshama within us and the four portions of the brain, v'havein zeh, and understand this. So, you know, Very scary, right? But in other words, but it gives you an appreciation of what the tefillin are all about. The shin, both the three-legged shin as well as the four-legged shin, hint at these very sublime ideas. And the Umal Sa'olam somehow, I don't know whether they read the Rabbeinu B'chaye or, you know, just intuitively, the shin makes a roshem upon them. They get it. They understand it. They see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting himself into this world, and that he has a special connection with the Jewish people in particular, which is manifest through the shin. And that puts a great deal of awe into the hearts of the Umal Sa'olam, to the point where they're in fear of the Jewish people.
I was thinking maybe you could say also, since we testify that the Kosher Law created the world, for hundreds of thousands of years, people thinking today, they still think the world came down by itself. So maybe we could say that the shin also is to the word shaka,
right.
And the shin, maybe we also have the shin dalgud,
right?
And the fact that we are still testifying it, that Mark Twain was the spoiler, that the Yid is still here, and we're still here to testify that on the Rebbeinu Shlomo's existence. The fact that we are here testifying to Hashem's existence, and it's filling, which is connected to the idea of Shakai, right? And we're telling the world that was appropriate, and we're showing the love of Hashem, and we're not dying. So the fact that we're doing that, I'm just trying to think,
Right. No, 100%. You could definitely explain that as well. You know that we're the living sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. Okay, so a beautiful, very applicable. You know, every day you put on tefillin, 300 days a year, as a matter of fact. You know, so every day you put on tefillin, you can take a little bit of this Rabbeinu B'chaye and try to think about it, even for a few seconds, just while putting on the tefillin. A little bit later on, in Pasuk Tesvav, so after enumerating the brachas that will befall the Jewish people if we do the Rosh Hashem, unfortunately the Torah starts telling us about the klalos that will befall us if we don't follow the ways of Hashem, the Tochacha. And it says, V'hayim lo sishma v'kal Hashem alokat lishmar v'lasos v'kom mitzvosa v'chukosot sher anochi mitzavecho ayom. If you don't listen, uvav alecho klalos ha'ele v'hisigucha. All of these klalos, all of these curses will come upon you and will catch up to you. Now that lashon v'hisigucha was used earlier in the Chumash as well. And back in Pasuk Beis, if we do the will of God, uvav alecho kol habrachos ha'ele v'hisigucha. The word v'hisigucha, they will catch up to you, is used over there as well, but there's a difference. V'hisigucha by the brachos is spelled without a vav. Right, it's a kubutz. It's the u is just without the vav. The histigucha by the klalos with a vav. So why is that? In fact, it's a little frightening on a certain level. It sounds like by the brachas, it's kind of half-hearted. Without the vav, it catches up to us. By the klalos, oh boy, is it going to catch up to you? Mitavav. It's going to catch up to you in full force. If that's what it means, that would be a very scary thing indeed. But comes Rabbeinu B'chaye, and he notices this, but he also softens the blow. In the very next piece, Rabbeinu B'chaye says, "V'yisigucha malei b'vav, v'lo nichtav b'brachos malei." Right? Earlier, "V'yisigucha by the brachos" is written without the vav. Here it's written with the vav. "U'mashenichtav kan malei," the fact that here it's written malei, "al shem shenemar imo anochi v'tzara." It's based on the pasuk in Tehillim, where Hashem says, "I am with them, the Jewish people, in all of their tzaras." V'cheinu roshim b'pasuk zeh b'achris atevos. And indeed, in that pasuk, imo anochi v'tzara, if you take the sofei tevos, the end of each of those words, you have a vav, a yud, and a hey. Imo anochi v'tzara. In other words, the three osios which make up the Shem Havaya. So, in other words, that's not by coincidence, says Rabbeinu B'chaye. Imo anochi v'tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only told us it, but he wrote his name
into those words. Imo anochi v'tzara. Vav, Yud, and He. Right? Those are the three osios that make up Yud Ke Vav Ke. Right? And that's why the Vav is in v'hisigucha. Why? Because v'hisigucha, without a Vav, from the Shoresh, I mean, leave out the Vav that's at the beginning of the word. That's not part of the Shoresh. But from the Shoresh of the word, v'hisigucha, so you have a He and you have a Yud, but you don't have a Vav. If you put the Vav into v'hisigucha, so then the Shem Hashem is in the word v'hisigucha. So kivyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, yes, the klalos will catch up to you, but don't worry too much. Because even while the klalos are catching up to you, imo anochi v'tzara, the Yud and the He and the Vav from the Shem Hashem, are there with the word v'hisigucha. They're there with you, even as you're getting smacked with all the klalos. Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Because the Torah is scaring the Jewish people with all of these curses, the Torah is coming to tell us that don't worry, you're going to get smacked, but you won't get destroyed. Ki Hashem hanelam shochein bekirba. Because there's a hidden Shem Hashem, even in the midst of the tzaros, hover b'tzarosam, he's together with them in their tzaros, v'shomer osam, and it's watching over the Jewish people despite all of their difficulties. Right? It's been a difficult summer, certainly for Klal Yisrael, you know, with all of the difficulties we've gone through, and you know, difficult end to the year. You know, since we're winding down the end of the year, so halavai that we should be zocha to be able to recognize that v'hisigucha, that the Shem Hashem is with us even in the midst of sorrows, and that we should be able to see the Shem Hashem more begaloi, not just benister, as we go into the next year be'ezus Hashem. Next week we will meet Wednesday night again, the regular time. So unless there's any reason to change it, but I don't think there's any reason to change it. Or if we should meet Wednesday night. And we'll see everybody then. Wish everybody a good Shabbos.